call the meeting to order. This is October 13th, which was the first meeting for the Planning and Zoning Commission for 2010. Have before you the agenda and minutes from the last meeting, October 13th, 2009. Please review these minutes, and I'll entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Or change.
So moved with no changes.
I hear
second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? None. We have a few changes to the agenda, and I'll turn it over to Lee.
And then also in your pocket at the back, in the 2009 report, you have the new cost numbers here. We want to take this opportunity to go over some of the work that we did last year.
Good.
So those two things for new business C and D.
Okay. Shall we try to vote?
Yeah.
Can I hear a motion to approve changes to the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
We moved and seconded. All in favor say
aye.
Nay. Abstaining. Motion passes. All right. Well, we'll proceed through the agenda. I'd like, on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Commission, to welcome our new council members elect. We especially wanted to have you here for our kickoff meeting and to see the an outline of our activities from last year and the events that you might want to have any dialogue on those things. So that's really the main part of the agenda other than the elections. So how do we proceed on that? Nominations? Chair will entertain a motion for nomination for election of P&Z chair.
I nominate Rodney Hammond as chair.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of Rodney Hammond as chair for 2010 P&Z, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining? Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Did you abstain?
I don't vote. I don't get a vote. That's one of the privileges of this job. I don't have to take any responsibility. Now we move to the election of the Planning and Zoning Vice Chair. Floor is open.
I'd like to nominate Tom Merkel for that.
Is there any second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. I should step back and say, are there any other nominations? Hearing none, it's been moved and seconded that Tom Merkel serve as the 2010 P&Z Vice Chair. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstaining?
Here.
Motion passes. Thank you very much for being willing to serve, Tom. The next item will be appointment of the secretary for the commission, which by custom and rule would be Reed Treadgill. But that is a voting item, is that correct? Okay. So the chair will entertain a motion.
I move we appoint Lee Treadgill as the secretary.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstaining? Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you.
How much is this meeting?
How should I go this way?
It's going to be a record.
Well, I think we our next point on the agenda is the overview of 2009 PNC accomplishments, and in particular, I want to invite the new members of council or other members of the audience to take a look at that. We sort of have a one-page bulleted list there, and ask, you know, if you'd like to discuss any of these things. I'll just provide a general sort of overview in my remarks, and referring to that handout, we had very few variance actions last year. This is a city where you know, most of everything is built out. Most frequently, when we ask for variance actions, it's in the lake area, often because you have odd lots and you have many circumstances in which people want to update their homes, and then we're faced with the question of whether or not to allow some exception to the rule, and this becomes very sometimes it's a very simple matter. Sometimes it becomes very very complicated, as these members know. At the end of the day, your obligation is having to think not so much of the individual but the city as a whole, and so we try to act in accordance with that, and these two actions reflect that. In general, if you have a municipality where there are a lot of variance requests, it is a sign that you need to look at your zoning regulations, because that, you know, something is not meshing there. And so it's actually pretty good when we don't have too many. Last year we decided to, with the change in leadership, et cetera, with the Planning and Zoning Commission, to look inward a little bit at our procedures and to do some things to update how the city operates this particular function, and we implement a few changes, as you can see in the handout. We updated the bylaws, and probably that's not putting exactly right. We enacted bylaws, and it turned out that the city of Berkeley Light was really a violation of procedures by not having official bylaws, and it would have made the city vulnerable had we not done so to some challenges for lack of procedural due process. So we took that on, and we updated the fees for the variance requests, et cetera, to keep them in line with what other municipalities are charging. We standardized our meeting dates so that the Planning and Zoning Commission could function similar to the other committees in the city, so that now citizens can expect in a regular annual calendar that this commission will be available to meet their needs on the second Tuesday of every month. However, the chair does have the discretion to cancel the meeting if there's no business. So this is a change over the past where the meeting was on an as-need basis. The first thing we did is get behind training for the Planning and Zoning Commissioners and for council members who were interested at the time. We brought in a consultant from Virginia. We had a full-day training, and that was, I think, very useful for all of us so that we could find out more about what the expectations are and how we compare to other regions and what and how we do. So that was a great opportunity we took advantage of. We were grateful to the city for allowing the funds to bring in the outside consultant to do that. Now, we had zoning ordinance amendments, and these all, according to city law, functions of the P&Z, but our function is to recommend to the council these things, and the council disposes of the recommendations. And as you can see, there's a list of topics that we took on this year. Some of them I know you've heard about. Council does not always concur with the recommendations, of the Planning and Zoning Commission, which is fine. But at least we serve the function of being able to offer you our opinion based on our technical review of some of these areas. The cellular facilities one was one of the big ones. And we found that there was no provision in the city code for cellular facilities, meaning that anyone could have it anywhere. And that would have worked to the detriment of the city, so we wanted to correct that, and we worked very long and hard to come up with a set of code recommendations which has an exceptional amount of detail over what the limitations are for the development of cellular facilities. And that, by and large, did pass, I think.
It did.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. We worked on impervious surface requirements. And these have to do with making sure our code provides for surface runoff limitations with new property development. We found that with some new properties that there was so much pavement and hard surface area that was increasing the runoff and in some ways making the development less desirable from a tree standpoint. So we did try to improve those requirements. We worked on special use provisions for accessory apartments we looked at that matter, whether I think we raised the question of whether we should allow the development of small apartments, perhaps in support of the elderly in the city, in single-family residence homes. We came up with a way to do that where it could be done on a case-by-case basis. However, council did not concur, and so that recommendation was set aside. The next two are sort of a bundle of different things. You want to say something about this?
Well,
the substandard lots of record.
I don't have anything in particular to say about it, but it's just, in general, the zoning ordinance that we have is a living document, as you can imagine, and as staff and P&Z have had the opportunity to try to take a look at the parts of our code that aren't functioning maybe the way that they should be, or where there is confusion and comparison to other cities and how they do things. And so the last two really have to do with updating our regulations to be consistent and I think more friendly towards the citizens with the application of regulations.
What constitutes a substandard lot?
Anything that doesn't meet the requirements of the zoning ordinance. So, for instance, there are lot area requirements, there are lot depth requirements, lot width requirements. Things that don't meet those thresholds are substandard lots. And instead of having to come through here with the variance, every time you want to build on that lot, as long as you can meet the setbacks on that lot, and you weren't putting your neighbors in a position of having an adverse reaction to that construction, you can go and build, even though your lot's up here, you can comply with the rest of the additional requirements. So it was really to alleviate a burden on the community. We've had a couple of variance requests, and Robbie alluded to that. When you sort of see some variance come up a couple of times, and you look at it and think, you know, why is this happening, and what purpose is this really serving? So we can look at that. That's a very common provision in code.
So was there a moratorium on building a substandard lot was prohibited?
No, it wasn't the point of it. It's just that every time you had a substandard lot of record, you have to come and get a variance before you build on it. Right. So now, the only thing you're going to do a variance now is if you had some other 50-meter setback or some other dimensional requirement for the building itself. When you're looking at the lot, if the lot doesn't work, the lot's pre-existing. There's nothing you can do to mitigate the fact that the lot is there. Usually, you can build on a lot of record. I mean, if you could build in there, that's what I'll have to say about those. And you should know, as a top member of the board here for 4 years, that you will likely see more zoning code fixes. You've already identified some that, as we have time, we'd like to take a look at. So you'll see those from pinups. I try to bundle them as best I can and kind of hammer out several different things at once so that we're not doing it every year. And we may move to a process where we try to do it once or twice a year. Not have it more formalized, but anyway, that will be an unfamiliar site to you. And just know that all of those things will come here first through the planning commission, and then they will have a recommendation to you.
Thanks, Lee. And just coming to the end of this report, I'll point out that we have one plat modification. Another role of the commission is that when you have new development in our small city that has been limited to the River District, we are required to designate the size of the plats and the other limitations on the development. And that matter had largely been settled over 2 years ago, but the developer did come back for one modification this year where he wanted to be allowed to build on a smaller
He switched lot coverage between two different lots.
Right.
It was sort of a strange situation.
It was unusual, but basically, what we did there is, in exchange for providing for larger lots below the dam, we allowed him to build on a smaller lot in the ridge area up there for one house. And so that was all we had in zoning ordinance amendments. Subdivision amendments.
Yeah.
And so lastly, and this came at the end of the year, on hearing the efforts of neighboring areas outside of the city to either incorporate or semi-incorporate areas of the border on the border of Berkeley Lake, particularly the Peachtree Corners, whose state representative is advocating that all of that unincorporated land bordering Berkeley Lake be put into a Peachtree Corners planning district, which is something like a city in the sense that the Peachtree Corners citizens would then have control over the development of that of those properties and the zoning and code. We strongly recommend to the council that the council work to look at the surrounding commercial areas to Berkeley Lake and do everything it can to annex those areas. Now, this is a complicated issue, and we're well aware of that. But we feel that it's our responsibility, at least, to advise the city that if it doesn't take a serious look at annexation of particularly the commercial areas, that will limit the long-term economic prospects of the city. And this is a time when we can't afford to ignore that.
Is there opposition on the part of the current property owners to annexation?
It has not been overtly approached with them, so I can't say that we know of some cases where there have been queries, individual queries about annexation, and the mayor is familiar with those. And so, but there has not been a coordinated effort. And this is not an easy. This is not an easy thing. This is something that would require negotiations with the property owners, and you'd have to make a business case for them as to why they should be interested in doing this. It can be done legislatively, even without their agreement. However, the preferred way is to have have the property owners on the basis of some shared consensus about it's in their and our best interest to do so, to go ahead and do it.
May I say a couple of things?
Yes.
I want to talk about this issue for a second in two different areas. First of all, as the piece of paper you have says at the top, it's the overview of the P&Z accomplishments in 2009. This commission, especially I think it's fair to say after our training, all realized that this commission has in the past been more Z than P. And so what part of this that we're recommending on the annexation is the beginnings of this commission is going to start being more and more involved, as legally we are allowed, to be involved in the planning, future planning of the city. So there's going to be more, there's going to be just as much P as Z, and in the past it's been more Z. But specifically that area, besides the economic that the chairman talked about, that whole area, and if you can imagine for a second, in basic terms, what we're talking about is take South Berkeley Lake to Buford Highway, take North Berkeley Lake to Buford Highway, that whole area. That's basic. I mean, it's a little bit more than that, maybe, but. And the reason that is also, is besides economic, is because that entire area that I just mentioned drains into the lake. All of that is watershed for Berkeley Lake. And if we're going to have continue having these siltation battles and everything else, with developers and stuff like that, and there's a lot of hard industry over there, and they can dump stuff into their sewers and everything, and it ends up in our lake. So it's a question of not only, it's a big question of the economics, as the chairman said, but it's also a question of the environmental, protecting the future of the lake, in our minds, or a lot of our minds. But also to answer your question, there has been no outward discussion of this, official outward discussion.
So that would be something that we're, you know, recommending you take a look at. I think it has to be done very thoughtfully. There's no guarantee that it would be successful if tried. I like to think of it as a exercise in what is the business case from their point of view for doing so. And there may be some. I mean, it hasn't escaped my notice that a lot of the little strip shopping centers up and down Peachtree Industrial label themselves Berkeley Lake, yet being outside of the city. Why is that? I don't know. You know.
I see it in the real estate.
And so there may be some business case for doing so. It is true that while one is a commercial property owner outside the city, you are vulnerable to the surface water runoff fee, which is escalating over time. And presently, the city of Berkeley Lake does not charge that. You may choose to charge it in the future, but right now, you could use that as a way of making a financial case for annexation. But I leave that to the wisdom of the city leadership. I think it's our obligation to say that this is something that ought to be seriously looked at if our values say we're going to protect the lake and diversify our support base in the city financially.
You mentioned that we're going to be up to legislative.
Yeah.
And there's going to be the ruling body that would be able to act on that.
That would have to. No, the state legislature.
Okay.
Yeah. Just as in the case with the annexations going on in other counties. Those were annexed.
So those are probably further races throughout the Fulton that. Sandy Springs, essentially a land grant, sort of more of a circle line, is very well incorporated into where they're all right. Each other, right. Well outside of people used to establish as the traditional boundaries, so they're driving up 400 Southern Sandy Springs, about 10 miles from where you normally associate Sandy Springs. Is that some of that reasons, or is that taxation, or I guess John's could be some example of that.
Well, in Fulton and DeKalb, these things have happened, and the reasons are, I think, multiple. But I think we have a good reason for looking at this that is unique, having to do with the protection of our environment. And the property values overall in the city, because if those areas, if we have no influence over the direction and the way that they develop, that could affect us, because these are the gateway areas to our city.
Does that indicate a precedent in terms of the state as far as their being in favor of annexation, or is this something they have the opposition to it?
I don't know.
But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
May I ask a question? And I apologize that I've not read the minutes from the City Council. But speaking of being more P than Z, we took on, you know, looking at the long-range plan for the city, and one of the things we were almost assigned was to look at this accessory apartment zone. May I just ask what the Council's objection was to that ordinance, or why it didn't pass?
I think predominantly because they were fearful of the effect on property rights.
So I mean, do we need to revisit the long-range plan?
No, I think that what we
they want us to approach that in a different manner?
Well, and it may be that over time, you know, the general feeling about that topic changes. We have done what we needed to do with regard to comp plan, and you three will get a little bit smarter, but the comprehensive plan doesn't bind us to implementation of any of those short-term work program items.
Right, so there were two or three items that we were to focus on, you know, this year or last year.
Right, and we looked at that, and you all did everything you could to make that item reach its implementation. But the City Council had a different feeling about which way to go on that. So.
I don't know how to approach this except just to say it, but we spend a lot of time on that. So I would like to ask that if City Council wants us to do something, that they tell us what they'd like us to do. And if they don't want us to do it, they don't tell us to do it.
Well, true.
I mean, if they don't want to do something, they need to say, you know, focus on this other thing that we really want you to do.
And just to be fair about that, the way that this happened, that was in the comprehensive plan, which City Council did adopt. So to the extent that it was in the plan, they adopted, they did direct you to look at it.
Right, but it wasn't just like one thing we picked out. There was, here's the comprehensive plan, and these are the three we want to focus on first. Or
right. They looked at it, and there was a council meeting which they looked at the short-term work program to pick what things to focus on first.
Right.
And there was discussion about that. And at the time, I think that had you, you didn't necessarily know this, you haven't been there, but you may have perceived that there was some disagreement, perhaps,
right,
about whether or not we should look at that at this time or later. So,
okay.
I don't think anybody aired an objection to it just because it wasn't a comp plan, it wasn't an adopted plan, and in a way, it's good to look at these things, I think, for the city and see, you know, how a lot of planning is about how your citizens respond to certain things. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't also make decisions that sometimes go against the overall emotion behind an issue. Sometimes, you know, that's a tough spot to be in, but it happens. So, anyway, but my perception was that it's primarily about that.
Can I speak to something else we just talked about in the same section? The cellular facilities recommendation that came out last year, I want to initiate the conversation maybe at our next meeting, but I've learned a whole bunch since this all came before the City Council the last time. And part of the reason is because I've become a sales rep for Clear. And so Clear, which is a wireless internet, required, currently their antennas are going up on Sprint towers because they're 51% owned by Sprint, and it's the new 4G, it's a wireless internet, and it is really the future of internet. So Comcast is a major investor unclear, because sometime down the road here, 5, 6, 7 years, you're not going to plug your internet into the wall anymore. It's not going to be DSL and it's not going to be cable. It's going to be coming from the towers. So what we discussed 6 months ago at the city council meeting, which was simply, do we want to put a tower up somewhere to give the people on the lower end of the lake, on this end of the lake, more choice in their cell carriers, it's going to become a much bigger issue. And that is, you know, can you even get the kind of internet that is going to be the standard 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road? And so I believe that it's going to come. I mean, we're going to have a tower, or there's going to be a tower really close that we don't have right now. So I think the issues, it's really a whole lot bigger and a whole lot different than the issue we discussed when we were here at the city council meeting.
So. Will this new technology require new broadcasting antenna or things of that sort, or is it...
AT&T is going to roll those out in about 18 months, and it's called LTE, but it's the same technology. And it's basically, you remember when the government, the UHF, VHF thing, and they sold that whole spectrum? Well, Craig McCaw, who's Clear, bought 50% of that spectrum. AT&T bought 25% of it, and then the rest of the companies bought the other 25%. So Sprint is sort of in the driver's seat of this new. They're actually going to be leasing some of that spectrum to their competitors eventually. But to answer your question, no, it goes up on a cell tower right now. The antenna go up on a cell tower. So there's 700 Sprint towers around Atlanta that have this clear signal on it. And then you basically have a modem just like your DSL or your cable modem, except it's not plugged into the wall other than the electrical. And then it pulls a signal out of the air similar to your cell phone. So.
And I actually have Clear Communications. I have the USB dongle. I purchased it through Comcast. That's just an addendum to my cable service. And it doesn't work out. It works
right.
Up to about halfway up the bush road.
And right.
So it comes out of the corner and then it goes zero all the way here.
Exactly.
So it is absolutely, it is a dead zone.
The tower, you know that tower right before you get to the end of Bush Road on the left?
Yep.
That's a Sprint tower. It's got Clear on it. So you have 5 bars if you're up there. Berkeley Walk has a great signal because there's a tower in Pinckneyville Park.
Ah.
All right? And then the other tower's up by State Bridge right there by the river.
Whose tower, do you know whose tower is behind the self-storage across the street from Publix?
No.
I know. Because there's a tower
right.
There.
Go ahead.
It's really the strength of the tower is only about 3.5 radius, so
Yeah, but the one that's on top of the hill there across the street from Publix on this side of Peachtree Industrial.
Right.
A brand new one, yeah. As a matter of fact, we were talking about the cell tower issue when the commission was talking about the cell tower issue. The next morning I went for a walk and I was like, my God, where'd that come from? It just popped up overnight.
It's not Sprint. It doesn't have Clear on it.
So this issue may indeed come back again because of changing technologies and approaches to the city. It would likely come to the city administration first, and then you all might want to consider asking us to look at our ordinances. I think it's safe to say what we tried to do in crafting the ordinance was to pay close attention to the value of having all citizens have access to cellular service, the best possible quality, but also the visual aspects of a tower, making sure that we protected the scenic vistas and views of the city, and we paid very, very close attention to that, and so we put a lot of limitations in code in anticipation of development of any tower. At this point, it seems to be a moot issue. Or is it?
I think it is, except for what Matt is saying.
Okay.
The man may be to build a tower here that was greater than what we saw that pushed that a year ago. It's been a recurring situation, and this new technology, you know, is the way that it seems to be, then perhaps that not going to work on this.
I figured with the new city council, nothing was a moot point anymore.
So take your best shot. So at any rate, these are just to give you an overview of some of the things that we've been thinking about, and like I say, I'm just really pleased that you've allowed us to do this work. We have a great team. And I just wanted to open up if there are any more questions or discussions or comment. I tend to not like very long meetings, if I can avoid them.
I was interested in your comment that you get more variances for people living around the lake. What do you contribute that to?
Can I speak?
Older homes?
Well, if you want to modify your home and it's non-conforming to begin with, you have to have a variance. And when you go to Berkeley Walk, they're all conforming structures. When you go around the lake, we have, I don't know if you'd say predominantly, I don't know that we've ever tallied it, but there's so many non-conforming structures around the lake that if they want to do anything, they have to come to us. So
you have
the lot sizes too.
Yeah.
The lot size drives a lot of it. I mean, there's a lot of the lots around the lake are very, very narrow.
How do you think you're going to handle the conflict of having at least a half acre for a septic field when you now have sewers available on one half of the lake? Will you allow smaller lot size? It used to be called fishing lot. Mm-hmm.
If they're served by sewers?
Yeah.
We haven't really addressed that.
Well, right now they're not served by sewer.
Bayway is about.
Nobody else has access to it, right? It's just right here.
Right, Bayway and then River District, of course. That's all you have. So that really hasn't come up yet because of the lack of sewer service around the lake, generally.
Do you think they're going to extend the sewer service any more than they have?
I have not heard on that. Has anyone here?
I have heard.
I
used to serve on the Gwinnett County Board of Health, and I can tell you that that is in the long-range plan, that there will be eventually no septic systems. The whole county will be covered by sewer, long-range.
But we discussed this like 4 years ago or something, and the problem was the cost was going to be totally borne on us because those aren't county roads. I mean, wasn't...
I don't know. It's really hard here to extend the sewer. I mean, we just have some mitigating circumstances with topography and the lake. And the cheapest way to do it, I think, is to go, I remember correctly, through the lake somehow. And there was a real concern about water quality and what that might mean. And actually, I think that there's a comprehensive plan item that addresses, you know, looking at this again and trying to figure out a way to extend through it. But every time I've ever heard it discussed, it's pretty much, you know, it's prohibitive and...
Has it not been feasible for all intents and purposes? I actually explored it a couple times over the years. The way it's done in a lot of lake areas is it runs along the shoreline because it needs to be gravity fed.
Yeah.
And then the idea of going along the shoreline here would be just
not okay.
Logistically challenging. The only other method is for you to do a series of gravity fed that accumulates in the corners down where the codes are. And then you pump it to the next pump, to the next pump, to the next, which is also economically challenging. Both of them, they've explored it. There's a similar study where they explored putting a silo all around the lake shore. And they were into millions of dollars in proposed costs. And someone said, pull the knee off the record and said, you know, it's a good one. It's basically, you know, any of the
So it's an engineering feat to even get to the point of considering extending the sewers as well as an economically daunting challenge. And so we really haven't faced this issue yet of what if, you know.
Yeah, because it'd be a conflict if ordinances and laws.
It's a great question.
Yeah.
In general, the lake lots, there's so much variation. And people naturally want to upgrade the homes, etc. But the city plan and vision provides for certain protections for the city as a whole in the development of lots or buildings along the lake. There's the idea to preserve some of the visual aspect from the lake to the road and from the road to the lake so that you don't have a walled effect. And there are fire and safety issues that are put into place in order to protect us against a mass catastrophic fire. And so that's why you have the sites, the site requirements. So there are a lot of things that come up as people want to upgrade their homes. And then some people feel that some of the newer homes are way too imposing. And that's very hard for us to deal with, but we do have a way. We have a way of managing it.
I apologize for not knowing all the requirements, but just throw it out for tonight. Mm-hmm. Have you got a limit on the height of the home?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
The
height is 35 feet, but it depends on the topography and the height. It can go up to 45 feet. So, perhaps structures that, for instance, if you're on the non-lake side of Lake Shore, the way that the lots slope, generally speaking, there, you may have a building that is, and you look at it from the road, 45 feet tall because it's sloping this way and you get to go up.
Yeah,
the additional 10 feet if you're on the downward slope.
It's not going to be like my house looks like a raised ranch, but it's a two-story house.
Right.
Yeah.
So in that case, you would be allowed 35 feet on your front, and on the lake side, 45 feet.
Okay.
Because of the slope of the lot.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much who we are going to. I invite any other questions or discussion from other citizens that we might have. Yes,
you may speak. Congratulations to all you guys. But for people who don't know me, start from where just so you guys know, I've had a chance to meet. My name is Brooke Neagle, and I am running for state representative up here. So you were just talking about what's going on with this planning district, and I'm very aware of it. I live over in Peachtree Corners. I've been over there a resident for 16 years. And I understand where you guys are coming from. I'm very well versed in the bill that Tom Rice, who is our state representative right now, he's been in there, if anybody didn't know, for 13 years, has put forth, and I'm very concerned about that. And I'm concerned about the citizens over here and what that impact is for you as far as how you expand annexation. And again, I understand it's a reality that's going to happen. And I want to be able to offer up as much information I can have. The legislature just started yesterday, and I have been down there and finding out if this bill is going to be passed because, again, it's something that has to go through 8 committees.
Mm-hmm.
And once that it goes through the 8 committees, then it will be brought to the 5 county commissioners. And so I will be aware of that. So anybody that wants to hear the latest on what's happening with that bill, I'm sure you'll want to know. And also I'd like to know any other concerns, being that I still live over in Peachtree Corners. Mm-hmm. I want to hear what you were talking about, the cell towers, mm-hmm. and some of the other issues that you guys are talking about. I think erosion,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening with the lake. I've been in a couple of meetings on that. So anything that I can be aware of to help me be able to be a communicator and get the word out as to what's going on in Berkeley Lake to the citizens over there, to North Fulton, because we do have North Fulton in the district, please let me know. I have information, and I will be coming around and trying to find out as much as I can. And I just appreciate you guys letting me come out.
I have a question. I saw I got an email from the Georgia Municipal Association. They were talking about what their stance was on different legislation that's being proposed. Do you know how they stand on this annexation of this planning district? Are they for or against it? Or?
As far as I've heard, and I'm also a member of the UPCCA, which is over here, the United Peachtree Corners Civic Association. According to Dan Weber, who is my state senator, although I know Dave Schaefer is yours, that the Georgia Municipal Association is not aware yet because this bill is still in transition. They're still putting it together. I know that, like I said, they're going to probably have this bill come out, or they'll probably announce the bill next week because of all the other things that are going on in the legislature. If that happens, like I said, it's got to go through the committee. Then I'm assuming it goes, if it passes in committee, it will go on to the next level, which is the Senate. And then if the Senate passes the bill, then it will go back to the county to make that decision. Where the residents come in, and that being also Berkeley Lake, as well as where I live and everyone else, is if it's put to on a ballot initiative, which, again, all of this is up in the air. I'm trying to get as much information out there as I can get to everybody, and I will be putting that on my website. But the idea is that if this passes, there will be five members, I don't know if you've all heard this, that will be appointed by the county commissioners, four of whom live in the Peachtree Corners area, one who does not have to live in there. If that does pass, or they are able to appoint them, and they're not elected by a governing body. As far as how that all comes into effect, I'm not exactly sure, because, again, I'm trying to find out as much as I can, but I would be happy to let the council members, as well as I've been also talking with the mayor, to let her know how this affects the residents. Again, I think the borders are described on the planning map, from what I hear, would encroach Berkeley Lake and would not allow annexation for Berkeley Lake. But, again, I'm not, yes.
Some of the original signage was inside Berkeley Lake.
Excuse me?
Some of the original signage was inside our borders.
I'm understanding.
I think that's just a mistake.
I'm understanding that you would be encroached upon by quote planning, and that it would not allow annexation for any future annexation. So, what you're talking about commercial properties, I think it would be.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you introduced yourself,
I
appreciate the information you're sharing, and these are things that our council needs to hear about, because I think they're very timely. And they could affect the future of the city. And there may be, in the legislative process, a way to negotiate out some of this. It's, you know, I think that I certainly think the citizens of Peachtree Corners may see it in their advantage, certainly, to have this district. And there may be a way to do that without encroaching on some of the prerogatives for the city of Berkeley Lake.
Exactly. And again, I think it's for all have to vote on it. I believe that everybody should. Have their issues stated on
them.
So
I
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This brings us to the adjournment. I'll hear a motion to that effect.
So moved.
It's been moved. And seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.